ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। सो रीडिंग फ्रॉम द 10th कैंटो ऑफ श्रीमद् भागवतम चैप्टर 2 एंटाइटल्ड प्रेयर्स बाय द डेमीगॉड्स टेक्स्ट नंबर 23। इति घोरात्मदद्भावात् संवृत्तः स्वयं प्रभु अष्टे प्रतीक्षंस्तद् जन्म हरेर्वैरानुबन्धकृत्। ट्रांसलेशन। शुकदेव गोस्वामी सेड, डेलिब्रेटिंग इन दिस वे कम्सा ऑल्दो डिटरमाइंड टू कंटिन्यू इज इन एनिमिटी टुवर्ड्स द सुप्रीम पर्सनैलिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड refrained from the vicious killing of his sister. He decided to wait until the Lord was born and then do what was needed. There is no purport to this verse, so we'll read text 24 and then the purport to it. Asina sam visamstishtan bunjana paryatam mahim chintayano rishikesham apashya tanmayam jagat. Translation. While sitting on this throne or in his sitting room, while lying on his bed, or indeed while situated anywhere, and while eating, sleeping or walking, Kamsa saw only his enemy, the Supreme Lord Rishikesha. In other words, by thinking of his all-pervading enemy, Kamsa became unfavorably Krishna conscious. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Purport. Srila Rupa Goswami has described the finest pattern of devotional service as Anukullena Krishna Anushilanam, or cultivating Krishna consciousness favorably. Kamsa, of course, was also Krishna conscious, but because he regarded Krishna as his enemy, even though he was fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, his Krishna consciousness was not favorable for his existence. Krishna consciousness favorably cultivated makes one completely happy. So much so that a Krishna conscious person does not consider Kaivalya Sukham, or merging into the existence of Krishna, to be a greatest gain. Kaivalyam Narakayate. For a Krishna conscious person, even merging into the existence of Krishna or Brahman, as impersonalists aspire to do, is uncomfortable. Kaivalyam Narakayate Tridasha Purakasha Pushpayate. Karmis hanker to be promoted to the heavenly planets. But a Krishna conscious person considers such a promotion a will o' the wisp, good for nothing. Durdante indriya kala sarpa patale prokhata dham shrayate. Yogis try to control their senses and thus become happy, but a Krishna conscious person neglects the methods of yoga. He is unconcerned with the greatest of the enemies, the senses, which are compared to the snakes. For a Krishna conscious person who is cultivating Krishna consciousness favorably, the happiness conceived by the karmis, jnanis and the yogis is treated as less than a fig. Kamsa, however, because of cultivating Krishna consciousness in a different way, that is inimically, was uncomfortable in all the affairs of his life, whether sitting, sleeping, walking or eating. He was always in danger. This is the difference between a devotee and a non-devotee. A non-devotee or atheist also cultivates God consciousness by trying to avoid God in everything. For example, so-called scientists who want to create life by a combination of chemicals regard the external material elements as supreme. Such scientists do not like the idea that life is a part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. As clearly stated in Bhagavad Gita, Mame Vamsha Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. The living entities do not arise from a combination of material elements such as earth, water, air and fire, but are separated portions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If one can understand the position of the living entity as a separated portion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by studying the nature of the living entity, one can understand the nature of the Supreme Godhead. Since the living entity is a fragmental sample of the Godhead. But because atheists are not interested in God consciousness, they try to be happy by cultivating Krishna consciousness in various unfavorable ways. Although Kamsa was always absorbed in thoughts of Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he was not happy. A devotee, however, whether sitting on a throne or beneath a tree, is always happy. Srila Rupa Goswami resigned from office as a government minister to sit beneath a tree, yet he was happy. Tektva turna mashesha mandal pati shrinim sadatu chavat. Shri Goswami Astakam, fourth. He did not care for his comfortable position as a minister. He was happy even beneath a tree in Vrindavan, favorably serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the difference between a devotee and a non-devotee. For a non-devotee, the world is full of problems, whereas for a devotee, the entire world is full of happiness. Vishwam purna sukhayate vidhi mahendra dist kitayate yat karunya kataksha vaibhavatam tam gauram evasthumah. This comfortable position of a devotee can be established by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yasmin sthitona dukkhena gurunapi vichilyate. Even when a devotee is superficially put into greatest difficulty, he is never disturbed. Hare Krishna. So first of all, I would like to ask forgiveness for this class, because this was told to me during the Tulsi Puja today morning. So I am not at all prepared. So whatever thoughts have entered my mind from Tulsi Puja till Guru Puja, I'll just try to express that. Please bear with me for all my faults. So this is the very famous verse for all the devotees, depicting that how a devotee can perform devotional service favorably and also in an inimical way, unfavorably. So here Kamsa, knowing that the Supreme Lord is going to appear as the eighth son of Devaki, or as the son of Devaki, later on it's as the eighth son of Devaki, is completely bewildered. And that is the status, or that is the condition of every person in this material world. A person may bear anything, he may bear any loss in this material world, but not the loss of his life. Understanding that if one loses something, there is every chance to gain whatever he has lost. But if one loses one's life, then everything is lost. As they say in Hindi, Sir Salamat to Pagdi Hazar. If the head is there, you can tie 100 turbans around it. If the head is not existing, you may have thousands of turban cloths and turban pieces. What is the use of that? So death is something like that, just chopping of the head. So all the plans, all the desires, all whatever one may think of, everything is put to an end at the time of death. And that is a most fearful situation for any person, what to speak of a demon like Kamsa. So therefore, what is the response? What is the response of a person when he knows that he is about to die? And that is the subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam begins with that point of what is the duty of a person who knows that he is going to die, everything, all his plans are going to be put to an end, all his desires will vanquish within a short period of time. But as Prabhupada very beautifully writes in this purport, what is the difference between a devotee and a non-devotee? This is the subject matter for discussion. The difference between a devotee and a non-devotee, as Prabhupada writes in the purport, that when a demon or a non-devotee comes to know, when it comes to know about his death, he tries to manipulate those situations and that conditions in a desire, with a desire that these plans, these situations which I am trying to manipulate with my power, with my wealth, with my knowledge, with my everything, whatever I possess, that will give me happiness. But here, a devotee also tries to manipulate the condition. But the difference between a devotee trying to manipulate the condition and situations and a demon like Kamsa trying to manipulate the condition and situations is that, as Prabhupada writes, although Kamsa was always absorbed in the thoughts of Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he was not at all happy. So those conditions which a karmi or a non-devotee or a demon tries to manipulate or try to put him, those conditions into his life, simply become the cause of miseries for him. It does not give happiness, even though it may be in connection with Krishna, as Kamsa was there. Kamsa apparently was appearing that he was thinking of Krishna 24 hours. But what was the result? That meditation was simply causing fear in his heart. Whereas a devotee also engages in the same process when he comes to know about the impending death. And that meditation of a devotee puts that devotee into the highest ecstasies of life, which he has not experienced, which he might have not experienced till throughout his life. But that moment or those moments can make that devotee experience those ecstasies which he has been hearing throughout his life. The practical demonstration of those ecstasies can only be at that time when he is feeling himself completely in union with Krishna. That is the difference between a demon like Kamsa and a devotee like Maharaj Parikshit. So Parikshit Maharaj also came to know. Parikshit Maharaj also came to know about his impending death. But before that, we'll try to draw parallel lines between Kamsa and Maharaj Parikshit. And then we'll come to a conclusion, which is the saman bhumam of the highest philosophy of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So when Kamsa, in the previous verses, just 3-4 verses back, when our Prem Kishore Prabhu very beautifully explained that Kamsa's regret, he was speaking on that subject matter. Kamsa, after killing all the 6 garbhas, after 6 children of Devaki, he is regretting. So it is natural for any sane person or pious person to regret if he has little bit sense, is little bit conscious of about his activities. There is every chance or there is every possibility of him regretting his activities. So we saw in that verse that even Kamsa is regretting. But what a useless person I am. I'm killing my own sister. I'm planning to kill my own sister. I have killed her innocent little babies. So after offense, regret is there. So here, Maharaj Parikshit also is regretting. After he had put that dead snake around the neck of Shramik Rishi, in that mistake, so-called apparent mistake, he is also regretting. And this whole chapter of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 19, is very beautifully explains the condition of Maharaj Parikshit. So Suta Goswami is speaking that after returning home, Kamsa also returned home from jail. So after returning home, Parikshit Maharaj, he started feeling very bad about the activities which he had performed. The offenses which he had committed against the faultless and the powerful brahmanas. And he was thinking that how heinous and how uncivilized his activities are. And because of this act, he became very distressful. That is a symptom of a devotee. He became very distressful that why did I commit such an offense? And he started contemplating. He started thinking about himself, saying, due to my neglecting the injunctions of the Supreme Lord, I must certainly expect some difficulty to overcome me in the near future. I now desire without reservation that the calamity come now, for in this way I may be freed from the sinful action and not commit such an offense again. This is the first difference between Kamsa and Maharaj Parikshit. So regret is there, but that propensity, that desire that I will not commit this mistake again, that is not there in Kamsa, which you are seeing today and which you will see in future verses also. And Kamsa is not ready to give up everything. Kamsa is not ready to lose everything. In fact, he is trying to gain more and more. And in fact, he is trying to make all the plans to enjoy. But that is not the same with Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit Maharaj is ready to give up everything, ready to accept any calamity for the sin or for the offense which he has committed to this great Brahmana. And then he is condemning himself, stating that I am uncivilized and sinful due to my neglect of Brahminical culture, God consciousness and cow protection. Therefore, I wish that my kingdom, strength and riches burn up immediately by the fire of Brahmana's wrath, so that in the future I may not be guided by such inauspicious attitudes. Such deep feelings. It is not just superficial like Kamsa. Such deep feelings of a person's ready or willingness to accept anything that comes in his life in order to get purified from that propensity to commit sin again. And while the king was thus repenting, immediately, what happened? News came of his imminent death, of the curse which was given by the son of that Brahmana, Sringi. So here, Kamsa also was regretting. And in the process of his regret, when he was regretting on killing his sister or the children of his sister, what happened? He also got the news. What was the news? That Devaki is pregnant for the 8th time. And it is that child, it is that pregnancy which was predicted. Here, for Parikshit Maharaj also, it was predicted that you are going to die within 7 days and 7 nights. And here, that same prediction for Kamsa was also there. Kamsa's death was also predicted. But here, the actual moment of death was there. Death is predicted for everyone. No person is free from death. One who has taken birth, Krishna explains, one who has taken birth, he has to die. And one who has died, he has to take birth again. But for Kamsa, it was also predicted. But now that moment has come. For him, 7 years were there, or whatever time was there, till the 7 pregnancies to go. And now that 8th pregnancy has descended. Devaki has become pregnant for the 8th time. And that pregnancy was the greatest fear for Kamsa. Parikshit Maharaj also knowing that one day I am going to die. But that 7 days was the ultimatum. 7 days was the ultimatum for Kamsa, and 8th pregnancy was the ultimatum for, sorry, 7th, 8th pregnancy was the ultimatum for Kamsa, and the 7 days was the ultimatum for Parikshit Maharaj. So now Kamsa has got the ultimatum. So what is the response again? What is the response? Kamsa was planning that what should I do? How to get rid? How to become free? Or how to make myself, or how to overcome death? But Parikshit Maharaj, the difference between the devotee, which Prabhupada explains, difference between devotee and non-devotee, is that he is not preparing to counteract death, but he is preparing for a higher goal in life. And as soon as he came to know, what did Parikshit Maharaj do? He gave up all his kingdom, he gave up all his wealth, his royal opulence, and he just went on the bank of the Ganges to concentrate his mind in Krishna consciousness, rejecting all other practices of self-realization, understanding that transcendental loving service to Krishna is the greatest achievement, superseding all other methods. One was trying to unite with Krishna. Parikshit Maharaj is trying to unite with Krishna, whereas Kamsa is trying to kill Krishna. This is the difference between a devotee and a demon. And then he sat on the bank of the Ganges, and at that moment he decided to fast until death. Fast until death and give himself up to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, who alone is able to award liberation. So freeing himself from all kinds of associations and attachments, he accepted the vows of a sage. And seeing Parikshit Maharaj sitting on the bank of the Ganges, all the great sages from all over the creation came there to bestow their choicest blessings upon Maharaj Parikshit. So again, Kamsa, today's words, what you are reading, Kamsa is seeing Krishna everywhere, while sitting, while walking, while sleeping, while eating, everywhere. In one sense, he is Krishna conscious, unfavorably. But his unfavorable Krishna consciousness is the result of his bewilderment. He is bewildered. That ultimatum of death has completely bewildered his mind. Why? As Krishna explains, Kama esha krodha esha rajoguna samadbhava. Because of lust. And when one starts contemplating on the objects of senses, what happens? Intelligence is lost, memory is lost, and pranashyati. Ultimately, he has to be vanquished. And that is what Kamsa was exemplifying. In his bewildered state, he was remembering Krishna. Or remembrance of Krishna was being forced upon him due to bewilderment. But Parikshit Maharaj was not bewildered when he came to know that he is going to die. And what are the symptoms? How does one come to know that Parikshit Maharaj is not bewildered by getting the news of his imminent death? The symptoms or the points are that when all the great sages assembled there, Parikshit Maharaj, what did he do? He received them properly and bowed his head to the ground. In bewilderment, when a person is bewildered, he forgets all the etiquettes, all the rules and regulations, what he's supposed to do and what he's not supposed to do. But Parikshit Maharaj, who was fully conscious, he knows that all these great sages have assembled. He's not telling, okay, I've done enough of this throughout my life. No need to do anything more. Let me think of what to do now. Or let me find some solutions. Why you're disturbing me now? No. He is properly situated, understanding that these great sages have come for my benefit. For my benefit to make me realize or to make me come close to Krishna. And therefore, being fully conscious, being fully, as we say in our medical, you know, when patient comes and you write the case, fully oriented in time, place and person, patient. So Parikshit Maharaj was like that. He was fully oriented in time, that what was the time, where was he, and to whom with whom was dealing. He was fully conscious. And therefore, he respected them, welcomed them, and the first etiquette to welcome great sages is to offer your obeisances to them. He offered their obeisances by putting his head on the ground. And then he revealed his heart. Did not take any independent decision. The second point. One may be surrendered throughout the life, but when one is reaching the highest stage, Parikshit Maharaj, in one sense, he was Krishna conscious right from his childhood. In one sense, he was guaranteed to go back to Godhead. But then, even at that moment also, he does not forget his authorities. What does he do? He informs, he has decided something, that I am going to fast until death. So it is not his independent decision, oh, let me do whatever my mind tells me to do. And anyway, I am going to die. Who is going to be offended or who is going to bother me? No. His respect, when you respect opposite person, you reveal your heart to that person. You don't do anything without his consent. So therefore, he reveals that I have decided that with folded hands, he reveals them that I am going to fast until death. So Prabhupada very beautifully explains the result of revealing one's heart or taking blessings from the authorities. And then this very beautiful verse comes. The fortunate king said, indeed, we are the most grateful of all the kings who are trained to get favors from the great souls. Generally, you sages consider royalty as a refuse to be rejected and left in a distant place. So after welcoming, it's not okay, welcoming done, sit and I'm busy with my business. No, he is grateful. He is grateful to all the sages. Why? Because understanding that it is these sages, it is these devotees who are going to make me reach or attain the ultimate goal of my life. complete dependency on the devotees. And with full gratitude, because unless until gratitude is there, one cannot access the mercy of devotees. It is said, the seed of devotion, gratitude, what that beautiful. Gratitude is the soil in which the seed of bhakti grows. If there is no gratitude, bhakti cannot be there. So therefore, Parikshit Maharaj, expressing his gratefulness, that all of you, these great sages had no business to come. It was not that they were hearing Krishna Katha for the first time just because Shukdev Goswami is speaking. It was there. But the main purpose was there to bless Parikshit Maharaj. And therefore, all of them had descended. So that is the hope for devotees. That is the hope for devotees. And why did it appear? Just because the Pandavas had done great favor to all these great sages. And to reciprocate with the great favor of the Pandavas, these great sages had descended there on the bank of the Ganges to bless Maharaj Parikshit. So Maharaj Parikshit is seeking the association of all great sages. And whose association Kamsa is seeking? Chanur, Mustik, and all the demoniac kings. See how parallel things are going. Same condition, same situation, but the result is completely different. Why? Because one person is seeking shelter of Krishna, other person is trying to manipulate the condition and situations, thinking that I will be happy. But what is the result? Manipulation and changes of conditions or situations can give temporary happiness, but not shelter. So Parikshit Maharaj did not manipulate things. He manipulated his life in union with Krishna. And therefore, he was attaining the ultimate shelter. And therefore, in spite of such difficult situation in his life, he was blissful. And Kamsa, in spite of having everything, was not blissful at all. He was unhappy because he was finding himself always in danger. That is the difference between Kamsa and Maharaj Parikshit. And then, the ultimate request, after expressing his gratitude, after welcoming them, what does Parikshit Maharaj seek from all the great sages? Does he seek some methods, some remedies to overcome death, to overcome that curse? No. He is not bothered about that. Why? Because he knows that however hard I may try to manipulate things, however expertise I may use, what is going to come, it is going to come. So let me make the best use of this opportunity. And therefore he says, tammopayatam pratiyantu vipra ganga cha deva drita chittam ishe dvijo pasrishta kuhakas takshakova dasatva alam gayata vishnu gatha. He is requesting the great sages. He is saying, O Brahmanas, accept me as a completely surrendered soul, and let Mother Ganges, the representative of the Lord, also accept me in that way. For I have already taken to the lotus feet of Lord into my heart. Let the snake bird or whatever magical thing the Brahmana created bite me at once. I only desire that you all continue singing the deeds of Lord Vishnu. So the ultimate culmination of the ultimate solution for any problem in life is Krishna Katha and Krishna Kirtan, holy names. Maharaj Parikshit is not requesting anything from the sages. And even when Parikshit, when Shukdev Goswami came, Parikshit Maharaj did not ask. And all these great sages, those who are assembled here, they're all great mystic, big yogis. They could have done anything. They could have spanned, they've increased the lifespan of Parikshit's life. They could have completely manipulated things. But what is Parikshit Maharaj requesting? Let me just, or you just sing Vishnu Gatha, just sing the glories of Krishna so that I can hear. So therefore, ultimate culmination, ultimate solution to all the problems in life is not manipulation of things, but taking shelter of the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And therefore, whoever has taken shelter of the holy name is only that person who has overcome every situations or every conditions of life every difficult situations of life, however hard they may be, however difficult may be, to the extent that those conditions may become so intolerable, unbearable, and practically you feel that it's better to give up. You can't fight any longer. You can't struggle any longer. But in such a distressful state, the only hope is holy name. Nothing other than that. And all of us, from last 1 week, we are celebrating, throughout this corner, celebrating everywhere, holy name week. Why? And when I saw that notice, holy name week, someone devotee commented, why we need the holy name week? Because our holy name is weak. Therefore, in order to make the holy name strong, we have to have this whole week. But then the point is, why only 1 week? Is that 1 week of intense chanting of Hare Krishna is going to protect us throughout the life or throughout the year, at least till the next holy name week comes? It's not like that. Holy name is always. It has to be always. Why? Because Maya Devi is acting always. Maya Devi is not saying only during the holy name week or this particular week, I'm going to attack you, so therefore be prepared, chant Hare Krishna for 1 week. After that, you are free and I'm also free. Duty is over. It's not like that. Maya is acting 24 hours. In fact, she's acting overtime for the devotees. So in that case, one cannot just chant holy name for 1 week. One cannot take shelter of holy name for 1 week. He has to take shelter of the holy name throughout. And that is the only saving grace. And that holy name, that grace, which Krishna is manifesting in the form of the holy name, is not just a secondary thing in life. It's not just something, an alternative, that this is, okay, out of my 24 hours, this much time for holy name, and rest everything for the projects. No. The biggest project in the life of every devotee is to chant the holy name. No other project, every project is after that. Once 16 rounds are over, then the project begins. Otherwise, what happens? Japa time becomes the best time for planning for the project. And what happens? Japa is gone, and even though apparently it may appear that the projects are successful, but history has shown that whoever has compromised with their japa, with their chanting and hearing, and even though they may be successful in creating number of devotees and number of big projects, what happened? After some time, the leader of that project or those devotees who have given up chanting and hearing, they have gone and the project has also gone because the devotees have gone. Therefore, any society can be successful only if it is centered around hearing and chanting. And therefore, His Grace Gaurang Prabhu was very beautifully, and many devotees were very beautifully expressing their thoughts on the Gopinath appearance day, that how this whole center, this whole temple of Radha Gopinath, why it is so successful? Just because the leader of this society has given his main attention, main focus, hours and hours of hearing and hours of chanting. And therefore, it is the duty of every society or every institution, every group to create such environment, such situation where they can give maximum facility for their dependents, their subordinates or people or inmates to chant and hear. We make so many plans for so many things, but how many plans do we have for our chanting? So many meetings, so many discussions, but everything is based on the body. Everything is being changed. So many plans, diet plans, this plans, that plan, so many alterations. But where are the plans of the morning program? Where are the plans for chanting? Where devotees are just wandering here and there and discussing everything, every possible thing during japa time, and then keeping japa for the rest of the day. Thinking that whole day is there, 16 rounds, 2 hours can be stretched throughout the day. But never we think that our eating can be done after all also. Eating can be done afterward, that no compromise. That 1:15 or 1:15, everybody is there. But for chanting, nobody is there. Just moving around, parikrama of the temple, everywhere, different departments. So therefore, the biggest project for every devotee is the holy name first. And that holy name, the holy name as his project, only he can be saved. And that is very beautifully exemplified in the life of Namacharya Haridas Thakur. When she came when Lakshaira, that prostitute, when she came and she requested that please, on the request of Ramchandra Khan, when she came there, she just requested him that, my dear Haridas, what is saying? Thakur Tumi Parma Sundar Prathamayavan. Oh Thakur, you are so Sundar, you are so young. Thakur Tumi Parma Sundar Prathamayavan Toma Dekha Konanari Dharite Pareman. Just by seeing you, which woman in this world can control herself? We seeing your beauty. Therefore, I have one desire from you. My request is, what is saying? Tomara Sangama Lagi Lubdha Moraman Toma Na Paile Prana Naya E Dharan. My mind, I'm eager to be united with you. My mind is greedy for this. If I don't obtain you, I shall not keep my body and soul together. This is how projects request us. All other things request us. We are inseparable. We cannot live without you. So therefore, priority. Haridas Thakur did not say, "Theek hai, out of my 192 rounds, I do it in 22 hours. Still 2 hours are there with me. If I just give some time, few minutes to this prostitute, I have still 2 hours in my quota. I can utilize that time also." No. He would have done that. But he did not give time. Why? Because his primary project was chanting Hare Krishna. Rest, all projects become secondary. Haridas Thakur, he did not say, "Yes, bead bag, come into my kutir." No. He says, "Haridas kahe tomar karimo angikar." He's not saying no. He says, "Yes, I will fulfill all your desires." "Haridas kahe tomar karimo angikar sankhya nama samapti yavat na hoye amar." I'll fulfill your desire, but when? After I finish my prescribed number of rounds. I've taken a vow to chant certain number of rounds, so let me do that, and then I will fulfill my desire, or your desire. Till then, what do you do? Till that is not time, go, do one parikrama and come. Just sit. Tava tumi vasishuna nama sankirtan nama samapti hoile karimo yehi tomar man. Till that time I chant, I finish my rounds, you just sit there. You just sit, and what do? Chant Hare Krishna. Or sorry, hear Hare Krishna. This Naam Sankirtan which I am doing, you just hear it. And after I finish my rounds, I will definitely fulfill your desire. So this is how Maya comes. So if one tries to say no to Maya, Maya will jump on him. So never say no to Maya. Maya says, just 1 minute. Maya comes with one request. Just give me 1 minute, 1 second. So you also say, give me 1 second. Sit for some time. So Maya, we have to use, as I say, to remove a thorn, you have to use a thorn. So whatever, with whatever plans Maya comes, you have to put that same plans on Maya. Haridas Thakur did not say, "You rascal, from where you come? Get out from here. You have some shame or not, shameless lady. Don't you know who am I?" He did not chastise and criticize her. Rascal. He not say like that. Just say, just wait. All respects, all glories, everything to you. I'll fulfill all your desires. Thode samay ke baad. Just sit. And what happened? She sat. She sat for some time, hearing Hare Krishna. She just sat. And what happened? Sunrise. And she left with full confidence that Haridas has given me a vow. He has promised me to fulfill desires. And here Ramchandra Khan was also jumping, saying, "Sell all your soldiers. Next day, tomorrow, pakka, job done." But next day, again she goes. Again she goes in the same twilight. And then again she requests to Haridas, "Please, fulfill my desire. You have promised." But then again, Haridas. And when she sat there, she became very distressed, restless. Ratri shesha hoila vesha ushmishi kare. Ushmishi means restless. Tarariti dekhe Haridas kohena tahare. Seeing that prostitute in a very restless condition, Maya is also restless to attack you, to take you in her lap. But seeing that restless condition of that prostitute, Haridas tried to console her and saying, what did he say? Koti nama grahana yagya kori ekamase ei diksha kori ache hoila asi sheshe. He says, "I have vowed to chant 10 million names in a month. I have taken this vow, but now it is nearing its end. But why I have taken, it's nearing to an end. And as soon as I finish that, Hari Bol. We'll meet. So therefore, this one point that comes is vows. See, if every devotee can take vow, because Maya attacks during Japa time, especially. So if one can take a vow, some vow in his chanting, with this one statement, this one verse, one can be guaranteed of some protection from Maya. But I will not do so and so things till I finish my rounds. I will not use my cell phone till my rounds. I will not eat, I will not drink, I will not talk with anyone. Some little bit vows if one can take, Haridas Thakur guarantees that some protection. What some protection? All protection is there. And then again, he says, Aji samapta hoibe he no gyana chila. He's thinking, I thought, when the night was about to end, he's saying, I thought that tonight I'm going to finish my vow. Aji samapta hoibe he no gyana chila samasta ratri nilunama samapta na hoila. Whole night went by, but I could not finish my rounds. Therefore, please forgive me. Oh Maya, I'm not able to serve you, please forgive me. But I'll definitely serve you. It's not I am not going to do it. I will definitely fulfill your desire. So tomorrow, Kali samapta hoi be tabe, hobe vrata bhang, swachande tomar sange, hoi be eke sang. Tomorrow I will definitely finish my vow, and then there will be sangha of you and me. So again, the prostitute with full hope, now with the, every day, as the day is passing, as the night is passing, her hopes are increasing. And then she comes, the third night. And then, again, third night, after offering obeisances, one of the beauty of Haridas Thakur was having Tulsi Maharani next to him. And the prostitute, the beauty of prostitute is that she was offering obeisances to Tulsi Maharani. So after offering obeisances to the Tulsi plant, Haridas Thakur, she sat down on the threshold of the room, and thus she began to hear Haridas chanting. And she also personally chanted Hari Hari and the holy name of the Lord. Namapurna hobe aji bole Haridas. Even before now, third day, she did not say, oh Haridas, what happened? 2 days, two nights have already passed, what, at least today? No. She did not have to speak. Haridas is speaking. Haridas is saying, Namapurna hobe aje bole Haridas, tabe purna karimo aje tomaro abhilash. Today I am definitely going to fulfill my vow of chanting, and today is the time, vo ghadi is there, that today I am going to fulfill all your desires. But even before that, what happened? Maya Devi or that Lakshahira completely surrendered to Haridas. Completely surrendered to Haridas. And she fell at his feet. She fell at the feet of Haridas and begged forgiveness and revealed everything, why she had come, whom he had sent. And after that, Haridas said, I knew it. I knew that you were coming. But still, I was there. Why? Just to deliver you. Just to give the holy name to you. And then when she wanted to become his disciple, he said, yes, you can become my disciple. But first condition is give up everything. Give up all the wealth which you have accumulated by your sinful activities, and then come. And what is the instruction? What is the instruction given to her when she comes? Nirantara namalo karo tulsi sevan achirata pabe tabe krishne racharan. First instruction is nirantara namalo, then tulsi sevan. So every person, every character in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is instructing on this one principle. They are not saying do all projects and do preaching and do everything, all that is secondary. First essential principle is chanting of the holy names. First chanting of the holy name, then rest everything. Why? Because holy name is Krishna, and Krishna is the reservoir of all intelligence, all power, all wealth and everything. So unless and until a person gets access to Krishna, how can he expect his projects to be successful, and how the facilities to make that project successful can come without Krishna? And without Krishna, what can be the project? Project can be there, but there will be no Krishna. And without Krishna, what is the project? One can't do like that. And why Haridas Thakur is giving this instruction? Because his master also gave the instruction. I'll just take 5 minutes, even though I'm going ahead. So when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in South India tour, he began his South India tour, he came to Kurma Kshetra. And there he met that Kurma Brahmana, After serving Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu was about to leave. But Kurma Brahman could not bear that separation. Understanding his fallen state and difficult situation and the power of Maya, he is requesting Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that please do not go. I want to come with you. If you are going, please take me along with you. So he was a grihastha, and Mahaprabhu did not advise grihastha to leave his family, children, everything and come with me. He was not saying, yes, I am preaching, I want people, come, give up everything. No. So when he requested that I want to come with you, Mahaprabhu did not say anything. Mahaprabhu said, just be here only. And Mahaprabhu gave one instruction. What was that? That just be at home. I'll just read that verse. He said, don't speak like this again. Better remain at home and chant the holy name of Krishna always. First instruction is, be at home and chant the holy names of Krishna always. Prabhu kahe aiche bate kabo na kahibo, grihe rahi Krishna nama nirantara laivo. So Mahaprabhu also insisted on the holy names. All the descendants of Mahaprabhu, they also insisted on the holy name. First instruction is holy name, rest is all service. And then Mahaprabhu in the second line, he says, Yare dekhe tare kaho Krishna upadesh, amara gyay guru haiya taro ek desh. So first chant Hare Krishna, and then do whatever activities of preaching are there after that, after holy name. And unless and until a devotee chants holy name, taking shelter of Krishna, he cannot be happy. And that is the difference between a devotee and a non-devotee. Whatever conditions may be, Parikshit Maharaj desired only one thing, that you great sages just continue. Gayato Vishnu Gatha. Just continue to sing the glories. Why? Understanding that this name, this Kratha, Krishna Katha, is going to reveal everything. Name reveals form, form reveals quality, and quality reveals pastimes. So the essence of everything is the holy name, and therefore not just wasting one's opportunity. ISKCON, Prabhupada writes everywhere that we have created these centers for what? To give an opportunity for people in general to associate with devotees and chant the holy name. So one last pastime from Prabhupada Lilamrit, which comes, not Lilamrit, Lilas, which comes in the latest book of His Holiness Viraj Maharaj, Watering the Seed, the expanded and version, the latest which I have received from one of my friends who is the disciple of Giriraj Maharaj. So in that, one beautiful Giriraj Maharaj mentions one pastime, that one person called as Bihari Lal Khandelwal, he was a big industrialist, very pious man, he had promised to give, the first Indian man to give 1 lakh rupees to the ISKCON society for any project of Prabhupada. He had promised. And within 1 week, the secretary of Bihari Lal Khandelwal, he calls up Giriraj Maharaj, saying that he has passed away. And he requested all the devotees to please come and chant to his bungalow and chant, do some kirtan. So Giriraj Maharaj that day finds whatever devotee is there in the temple and takes them, all of them, to chant or to do some kirtan for that widowed lady and the family members. And they don't return. And only one person was remaining there, that was Haridas Prabhu. So Haridas Prabhu was serving Srila Prabhupada in the evening time. Prabhupada was in his quarters on that building. And then he was fanning Srila Prabhupada. And it was evening time. And Prabhupada, he could not hear any kirtan. It was already 7 o'clock. And Prabhupada could not hear any kirtan from the temple room. And Prabhupada asked Haridas, where are all the devotees? Why are they not chanting? So Haridas Prabhu said that maybe they must have gone to collect some funds and some donations. And they will come late nights. And then Prabhupada, when he heard that, Prabhupada said, this is not what we are meant for. This was not my desire at all, he said. I want devotees to, they can do all the services from 9 to 7, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. But after that, all the devotees should come to the temple and they should sing, dance and chant before the deities. And then Prabhupada says, what power do we have? Mr. N, he was the most influential person. He had his daily newspaper. He had so much contacts with the politicians, with big, big industrialists and big, big wealthy people, what did we have? But why did we become successful? Why were we successful? Just because we chanted Krishna, and just because through our process of chanting and dancing and singing, we try to serve Krishna and to please Krishna. That is our success. And therefore, devotees may go from 9 to 5, but after 5, all the devotees should come in the temple and sing and dance and chant before the deities. And Prabhupada says, that is only our success. That will only give us success, rest everything is secondary. Very beautiful quotation for this pastime by Srila Giriraj Maharaj. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Nirantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Sorry for going 5 minutes.